Well, the title of this message, so if Steve's not in here though, is where is your focus? Where's your focus? Now, if you're like me, I go, well, focus, what do I see? When you know, I don't get into words, okay? So I have to look these things up, and it said, when your focus is in the right place, you're thinking of Christ instead of earthly distractions, being entangled with the affairs of this life. You have a clear mind, your watchful spirit, know your adversary, to be clear, single-eyed, be in the prayer, and be in the word. So when you have that clear vision, what does the word of God say in Proverbs 29:18? He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. And we know that the law has been fulfilled, but what about the word of God in our lives? We are to want to keep that word in our heart. Cherish it. Know where it came from. Be ready. Be instant in season and out. Yes. I'll tell you what, this week I asked for a prosperous journey when I went to the prison. God heard that cry. It was the most prosperous journey I've ever had going to the prison. It was totally amazing. But one woman that I met, and I'm talking about being instant in season and out. Not like you're going, oh, I hope I get to preach to somebody. I hope I get to teach. I hope I get to say a scripture. Be who you are. Live the life that you have. It's going to happen. A lady sat across, and I never even thought about it. The Lord brought it. It was like taking clay pigeons and throwing them up in the air. And it was like when a man comes to you with vain philosophy, and he's saying, like, this is 2026. Do you have an answer? Are you just going to sit there? It was like the Lord. Sometimes he'll say, keep your seat. Don't say nothing. Be quiet. This time he didn't do that, but I watched him do it. It was like every time. It's 2026. Things are different. The Holy Spirit would bring to me, and it was like, boom, and hit that clay pigeon. And it was like, the Lord says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. The world's changing. People are changing. We're to be conformed. Let this mind be in you that's in Christ. Then there was other things. It was just one thing after another, and it was like, boom. And I saw him hitting all that clay, works of the flesh, words of the flesh. You've got to be ready. You've got to know your adversary. Came out in our class that we had again. And I don't know if it was Ray, one of his sons. Yeah, I don't know who it was, but I do. It was the Lord. Satan's knocking on your door. Don't answer it. Don't even let him in. Do you know how far that little phrase of overcoming? Somebody God gave that phrase to. And that phrase has gone all the way through that prison. There are so many people who know that now. On the way home, my brother called and he said, well, Satan's been knocking on my door and I'm not letting him in. I said, oh, he said, yeah, remember we talked about it? You see how God wants to do what he wants done, and he'll let you know what's true and what isn't. It can be your walk. Is it a true walk? Is it really true? He'll let you. If you walk in the Spirit, you will see and you will know. And I thank God for that. But he wants you to have a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, you perish. So then I went through, and he said, when I have a vision, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God did one thing. He spoke the word and brought it into existence. Okay? The natural eye in Romans, you can read, and I believe it's Romans 1. You're without excuse. When you knew God by creation. Your natural eye can see things. Well, your spiritual eye can see also. Now we see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the beginning, God spoke the word, and the word was manifested. There were the trees. There was the light. There was this. There was that. It was a manifestation of the word of God. When you give out God's word, you want a manifestation, open vision of this, to be able to see with spiritual eyes. And as I began to go through this, he said, without a divine revelation, if you don't have that focus, that vision, that's when you're without a spiritual guidance. You lose your purpose. You get lost in all these distractions. You lose your direction. Perishing means you're without divine restraint. It's like nothing, the conviction is nothing to you anymore. Because now you got your eyes on the world. You got your eyes on other things. You're natural. He wants your eyes on spiritual things. A natural man does not understand the things of God. So I went over to Hebrews, and you can go there. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's 12. There's a 2 in it. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 11. The life you now live, how do you live it? By the faith, not your faith, by the faith of the Son of God. So verse 1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Remember, hope that is seen is not hope. It's the substance of things you're hoping for. It's the evidence of things not seen. What does the word of God teach us in Corinthians? He said, look not at the things that you see. You look at the things that you cannot see. And when you do that, when you see circumstance, you see all these things. That you're looking and you see that with the natural eye. But see, this is foolish to the natural man. Go around and tell a man, look at the things you can't see. That is so unnormal. Spiritual eyes can see. He has given his promise. And he said, this shall come to pass. This is going to happen. He tells you, I promise I'll be there. I'm going to do this. We can see because we believe. You're receiving the word of truth. And you're taking it into your heart. And as I went through here, he said, it's the evidence of the things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. And I went down immediately, my eyes through the Spirit, caught me down to verse 6. Without faith, how are you going to get faith? You've got to hear the word. I have to know him. If he's my joy and he's this and he's that, I have to know who he is. So I have to hear the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you can try to please God with your works. You can try to please him in saying the right things and doing the right things and looking good or whatever. Well, it didn't please God. Because without faith, it does not please God. The things that are impossible with man, so many things in our life, we think, oh, this is just impossible. I don't know how you're going to do this. I'm telling you, I know by experience. I've seen it just this week. Believe what God has said. You just walk in the Spirit. Walk with me. Talk with me. I'm going to show myself real to you. That wasn't me shooting down the things of the flesh. It was knowing who the adversary was. Knowing that I'm not going to speak words that's going to tickle your ears. That's what people get behind pulpits. They do what you want, just like Aaron. Oh, make us a God, do this. We don't do that. We have to speak and tell the truth. Now, if you're going to tell the truth, it's going to cost you something. So I went through and I kept looking at this, and he said, without faith, it's going to be impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, you're going to have. Why did you go to him? If you go to God, believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And you keep going through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and you'll look. And he said, I've told you about faith. I have it all written down. He was telling the Jews, you got to get it. It's by believing. It's all about this wonderful grace of God. By faith, Noah. How did he get the faith? Who told him to build the ark? Who gave him the materials? What was Noah's part? Did he sit and say, well, I believe there's going to be an ark. There's the materials and there's the stuff, which that's what people do. We have the provision. What are you doing with it? They look at it. If he just looked at it and saw it and imagined it, but he didn't step out and do what God told him to do. He said, build an ark. Build that ark. Take this into the ark. Do this in the ark. That's what we're doing. We're walking with God. He just wants obedient heart. And he said, as Jesus prayed to his Father, that's what we're doing. Father, I need the grace to walk in this life that you've given me. I need to know what direction, which way do I go, Lord? Where would you have me to speak? Where would you have me to sit? Well, whatever you want, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. And I'll say what you want me to say. But he says, these people, it's many names in here. There's Abraham, there's Noah, there's Sarah, there's Joseph, Jacob, Isaac. Many names, right? But he knows your name too. And he said, everyone had a name. Everyone, God talked to them. And God spoke to their heart. What did they do with it? Did they believe what God said? Many different circumstances. But they're a man just like we are. God spoke to their heart. And he said, Moses stepped out. He did. He went. He took that step and he walked out. And he said, he was called to go to a place which he should after receive an inheritance. After he would receive an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out. And I love this. He doesn't even know where he's going. Did Rebecca know? No. Will you go? I will go. I'll go where you want me to go. All these different people, all these different circumstances. And now you can go to Romans chapter 4. Verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. What did he find according to what? The flesh. What did he find out? I bet Abraham learned what we learned. We have to know that I'm righteous because he made me righteous. I'm justified by faith. The things that he did, things he said, it was all about the Lord, where he was going. He just yielded. That's all it was. And we make it hard because we put our natural thoughts in here. He goes, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Yes, he gets the glory. Look at everything I did. And my grandson gave me this, and I love it. Well, I went over here, and guess what? I planted seed there. You see that woman, that man, this girl? I preached the word to them. Oh, I went to my job, and I preached the word to them. And I went here, and I preached the word to them. See, it's all in that attitude. He said, Nana, you know the greatest thing you can rejoice in is not where you planted it, because he gave it. It is a joy to plant. But what about the day of harvest? We don't even think about the harvest. The harvest time. What about the harvest? All to bring it in for Jesus, who gave us everything. We've only been talking about him. Seed, he is the word. It's been planted. People are seeing who Jesus is now. They're getting a true hope. To him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace? It's debt. Just like if I give you some money and I say, now you owe me. What if Jesus said, I give you eternal life, but you owe me. You give me that life. You give me that tithe. You see, it doesn't work like that. It's all love. You want to do. To him that worketh not, that believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith, the evidence of things not seen. Even as David, he described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. But what did he have to come to? The end of himself. He had to come to that place that he admitted, what I've done is wrong. And I need you, Lord. And he was weeping. But God already knew, and he had a plan. And he rose up and he put on his new clothes. That's how I say, put on righteousness. Put on these new garments of praise. If they're old garments and you're just putting them back on, there's only a praise that's going to last a moment. I want eternal glory, eternal praise for Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't count it. And I went down as the Spirit led. He said, get to verse 17. Because remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and call the things that are not as though they were. That's when, if God speaks it to you and he shares it with your heart, you can talk about it. You may not say a word about it, but don't let go of it. If God has given you a vision, don't let the adversary knock on the door of your heart, knock on the door of your mind. You just say, you can't come in. I know my adversary, and he's trying to tear down, and he's trying to rob and destroy the people of God, and I'm going to take a stand in God's word. You can't come in, not into this house. He quickeneth. I love it. He believed God, who did what? God quickeneth. He made alive. He quickeneth the dead. You tell me someone, something, anything that you're believing in, that it can make you righteous, that it can raise you from the dead, that it can take you to glory, is it worth trusting in? He quickeneth the dead, and he's the one who calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope. Now, you go in and read it later for yourself in that hall of faith, is what I call it. Go in there and look at those people, different circumstances, different people, but God. That's how they made it through. Who against hope? Do you have anything that is against hope? Like, there are so many things that will war against you, trying to take your hope away. Don't do that. Hope thou in God. Believe him for what he said, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. I love it when God said, I shall do it. I shall do this, and I shall do that. That's he, his responsibility. And if he ever gives anyone something to do, say, sing, walk, go anywhere, he's going to have to speak to you. He's going to have to give you, he gives you the grace. You see, number 10 means responsibility according to the ability which God giveth. We don't have any ability. That's why Paul chose Timothy. Because Timothy, he said, you go out and you choose men who are going to preach the same message. even in 2026, and in 2027 if it gets here. They preach the same thing. Let them know this is where the ability comes from. God will enable them for what he's called them to do. He will enable. It may be a simple little thing, but it was a simple thing, something even with my life. But he just seasoned it so much and did all the stuff to it that it wasn't a little thing anymore. He's made it a big thing with God. You see, little is much when God is in it. And being not weak, we don't have to be weak. He said, when I'm weak, you're going to be weak, but we don't have to stay in that weakness. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup that he was going to have to drink, let it pass from me. Let it pass. But he still wanted God's perfect will. God's perfect will. So he's alone, but what is he doing? Jesus himself is the greatest example we will ever have. We sing that. He, the great example, is the pattern for me. Because that's who is alive in you. And he's telling us, I prayed to my Father. I asked him. And God chose the way. God chose the path. Exactly what was needed for me and you. And Jesus said, I will go. I'll do it. He didn't feel all that stuff yet. He's going to feel it later. But you remember, all those piercings, all those beatings, all those. I believe every time he said, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And he kept going to the very end. He finished his course on this earth. And what is it? Paul said, I have finished my course. There was joy set before Jesus. There was a joy set before him. And he endured the cross, despised the shame. Where is he now? Is that here? He's seated at the right hand of his Father. And by faith, we believe that he has raised us up, quickened us together, that we can be seated in the heavenlies by faith right now. All these provisions, they're yours. We believe it. And one day, I shall see him as he is. Really see. We see right now through our spiritual vision. A glass darkly. But then, I want you to think of one time, just one. One time the Lord has spoke to you and you felt so down and how it just got you and grabbed a hold of you and raised you back up. Can you imagine seeing him in his fullness? Not in one verse, not in one word. He, all in all. We have to keep walking with him and talking with him. He talks to you. He lets you watch him work. There's the mystery right there to me. It's you're watching him do it and they think you're doing it. And you have to say, no, it's him. It's him. We know it's him, but he still used you. You're going to hear that. As long as you keep your attitude, that's what's right. The attitude that you gave it in or that you did it in or that you walked in. Don't be weak in faith. You got to get in the word of God. And when you are weak, you won't be weak in faith, because he said, if you get in the word and you know him and know who your strength is in, he won't consider. He considered not his own body now dead. He was 100 years old. He didn't consider Sarah's womb dead. Why? He was considering an expectation from the Lord. You're going to have a child. God is not a man that he should lie. They had to believe it. Well, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. If you're staggering, you're unsteady. And that doesn't make you a bad person. I've been unsteady in so many things. It's his job. He's establishing you. He's settling you and he's strengthening you. And you're going to praise him. He didn't stagger at the promise of God, because had he staggered, it would have been unbelief. Why did the children of Israel not enter in? Unbelief. But he was strong. Was he strong in himself? No, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being not just a little persuaded. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. It is his both to will and to do. Well, we are Christ in us. You're here. Let your light shine. Walk in this dark world. And he said, here it is. He's telling us that, yes, you're able. He's able to perform it because you're going to yield to what he tells you. That's magnifying the grace of God. You're not walking in it yourself. You're not doing it in yourself. You can't. He giveth the grace. He giveth more grace. And it's him who has done it. He gave me eternal salvation. First thing. I like how we heard in class. You can't enjoy the peace offering. You can't enjoy all these other offerings. You got to get that sin offering first. You didn't enjoy it. I'm driving down the road and something was going on the way home. And Brother Bruce sent me a text. He doesn't even know this. And on the text it said, the peace of God. It was my strength in the time I needed it. God is not anxious about what's going on over here on the road. He's not anxious. Let the peace of God, God's peace, rule in your heart and in your mind. Being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, because of that, it was imputed to him. For righteousness. It was counted to him. Now, it was not written, I love this part. It was not written for his sake alone. We look at that and go, wow. No, it was imputed or counted to him. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he's alive, who was delivered for our offenses, and who raised us again. What do you mean, raised again? Well, it was your sin that was raised up on that cross. You were raised, and then you were buried. But he arose. You arose with him. You came up again in the newness of life. Raised again for our justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. He's there. Will you make mistakes today? What do? Go to him? Just say, Lord. Talk to him. I need more grace. You see, it's those that think they've already arrived. You've already got it. You've already done everything. I don't need you, Lord. I don't need you. I got this. I can give a Bible school lesson. I can do it. You see that? Pride cometh before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. I can do nothing without him, but I can do all things with him and through him. And I've always said, he gives me peace before the storm, peace in the storm, and peace after the storm. It's his word, his word, his word. First love. Don't leave your first love. Let's all stand.